Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word Talk Radio. This is Word Sexy Radio for July 11th, 2011. I'm your host, Red Snapper, bringing it to you, as we always do, live and sexy, and that's how we do it here at Word Sexy Radio.
Just when I thought I was over you, you're back in my arms.
Thank you.
And this is your host, Red Snapper, coming at you today, live, as we always do, on every Monday at this time of day. This July 11, 2011, and I know I got my friend, my partner, my pal, I know he's here, DV Hit. How you doing, brother?
What's up with you, man? What's happening?
Hey, man. It's been a while since we spoke, because we had a little break in there in between, but here we are again, doing Word Sexy Radio like we always do, and we're going to bring this thing real sexy tonight, because I think we got two guests. I know we have one, and I've seen another number come up, and we're going to check and make sure whether that is our other guest or that's just someone that just want to come in with some sexy information. So before we do that, kind of tell us a little bit about what you did for your 4th of July, DV, and then we'll get into our interview.
Like, it was, I finally had a July 4th I can deal with. You know, I went house hopping, barbecue stop to barbecue stop. And I was good. Like, you know, I've been cutting down on red meat because, like, man, I'm going to tell you, Red, if it were, like, I love red meat, all right? If they had meat-flavored cereal, I'd eat it, all right? So I've been cutting down, you know. So, like, after July 4th, you know, I may have to cut back again because I felt the heart attack coming. But it was good.
Oh,
man.
Really?
Real. Yeah.
Well, you better take care of yourself, brother. You sure it wasn't from some of that sexual activity you was doing there? Or are you sure it was the red meat?
Oh, man, no comment, but I'm going to just blame it on the red meat.
Okay, brother. Okay.
It was lovely.
All right, well,
lovely.
We got two very special guests that's going to be on. We're supposed to have Cherry Woods. I don't know if she's going to be in, but hopefully she'll be in. And we know we're going to have Miss Lorraine Elzia, and I hope I'm saying her name right, and we'll get that right once we get her on. But right now, let me see who we have on our queue. We have someone here with a 512 number. Caller, what's state your name and who you are?
This is Lorraine.
Hey, Lorraine, how you doing? I knew that was you. I just wanted to make sure it was you. And how do you say your last name?
You said it perfectly. Nobody says my name right, and you said it perfectly. It's LZ.
All right. Well, I'm glad you got that correct. Okay, and DV, say hi to our guest.
Oh, I know her.
Yeah, we know each other. How you doing?
We know each other. Hey, sweetie, how's it going?
Okay, well, excuse me. But just because
you know
it don't mean you can't speak to her.
I thought it was funny. I didn't know DB was your, like, co-host with you, Red Snapper,
yes,
when we kind of signed
this
up. So that was kind of good to see that he's on there because I know him well.
Okay. Well, we'll get into the how I know well you know him later. But right now, let me see who this other number is here. We got a 973 number. Is this a guest or is this a caller?
Hi, this is Gwendolyn Carter, and I'm listening in.
All right. Well, how are you, Ms. Carter? We're going to get back to you
fine.
In just a second.
Okay,
and if
sure.
you got any questions, you know you are welcome to call me with your sexy voice.
Okay, thanks a bunch.
All right, hold on just a second there. All right, well, DV, since you know this lady, we're going to let you, as you know, you can tell my voice is a little off today. But we're going to let you kind of get in and ask a few questions. And you know, I want you to do your little questionnaire that you always do to all the guests that comes on so that we can find out where they are and kind of break the ice. And then we'll go right into her book, which I'm sure she wants to talk about.
Red,
Mystery Memoir.
Red, I'm going to be real with you. I would love to do that. But, you know,
you don't have
it might be might be listening in on the call, and I know him too. So,
oh, okay.
Like, yeah, like we spent,
okay,
like we spent a few months ago. We spent the day together, and you know that's a cool ass brother. You know, he real cool. You know what I'm saying? And I would love to do those questions, but you know that brother is like, yeah, I know him, and I know where he stands. So, you know, I can't do that.
Okay. All right. So are you telling me that we can't have a sexy show tonight?
Oh yeah. You know, you can do whatever you want to do. If Terry Woods get on the line, I'm gonna just wild out. But
okay,
when
well,
it's somebody,
call in, I...
you know, when it's somebody yeah. I know, you know, intimately, not like intimate in the sense of you know, sexually, but
I know what you,
you know,
mean. Yeah, I know what you mean.
That, you know, we business, right? You know, we business partners, so you know.
Well, I understand that, and I understand. How that goes. But when you are a guest on the show, I think it's next week, DV, even though you are a co-host. We have to definitely go off on you. But anyway, all right, so, Lorraine.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and let you, we're going to let you go ahead and introduce yourself to the guests out here. We know that most people know who you are, but if they don't, we still want you, for the benefit of those who don't know you, to go ahead and introduce yourself. And let people know who you are and what you do, and go from there.
Okay, I'm Lorraine Elvia. I'm the author of two books. My first book was entitled Mistress Memoirs, which came out in 2009. That book is basically about a woman that finds herself in a relationship with a married man, but she's not your usual hood rat. And the story isn't about, you know, a woman who's just out to get a man for that. She's not your gold digger, that type of thing. The story does go around how and where and, you know, that sort of thing, how they did it. But it mostly is a woman saying, it's from the woman's point of view of how she allowed herself to become a mistress. And so that's the first book. My second book my second book just came out last year in February, and it's called Ask Nicely and I Might. That story revolves around a female serial killer and a female detective chasing her. And in my head, it's Vivica Fox is the serial killer and Jada Pinkett Smith is the detective chasing her. So it's got that whole sexy flair to it.
good people that do the job. There you go.
Yeah, and so I come with a little bit of sexiness with that, and just looking into something that, you know, nobody thought about before, about what takes a woman to that level that she could do it, and then, you know, then having a female detective chasing her. So those are my two books that are out. Other people will know me. I'm also an editor and a ghostwriter. I've ghostwritten about 3 or 4 books right now. So I kind of, writing is my thing. Whether my name is on it or not, writing is my thing.
Okay. Well, that's all right. And we definitely want you to do your thing on the show. So, and for those of you that are listening and you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. This is Grown Folks Radio. So what I mean by that is we talk about everything and you can say it and it won't get bleeped. So, you know, if you feel like you want to cuss or whatever, you can do that. If you have to say a certain word to get your word across, like shit, ass, fuck, or whatever, you can do that. It's not a problem. We do that here.
Damn, hell, bitch. Don't forget my three favorites. Damn, hell, bitch.
There you go.
Ahead, you know.
Okay.
Gotta love all of them. But
okay.
Like, hey, Lorraine, you know, I've had the pleasure of reading Mistress Memoirs. You know, I've read it before. So I mean, basically, take the people who haven't read into the mind of your character, because you know, like near the end, she was kind of getting to that point where I was like, all right, you know, she's doing a lot of lamenting. So, I mean, what were you, when you were writing the book, was it anything personal that you were going through, or was it just something you had a point of reference, or what?
Detail.
a little bit of all of that, because it's funny, most of the time when people read this book, they ask me, is this true to life? Is it you? Is it your friends? And you know what? I have a lot of friends that are professional people that are caught up in this situation. So it's not one particular woman, but my main character, her name is Kayla, and Kayla could be any woman. And as a matter of fact, she says that in the book. You know, she introduces herself, but she says, I can be any woman given the right set of circumstances. And every woman out there says, I'm not going to be somebody's mistress. I'm not going to be their plaything, their toy on the side. But given the right set of circumstances, you can. A big dick and a smile might take you there. You say it won't, but it might take you there. And so the book is, it came from a lot of my friends, and it's a conglomerate of them. But at the same time, and DV, if you've read it, there's poetry in there too. And each of those poetry pieces, while they fit perfectly in the book, they were real life pieces that I wrote about something that may have been happening in my life at the time, and just kind of fit in there. And so, it's a little bit of everything in there. There's a poem in there called Come Correct. And a lot of times when
Come
men
correct.
Don't... Yeah.
Come
so,
correct.
Yes, come correct. And when men that have read the book, they're like, oh, okay, I like that. I didn't think women really talk like that. And it's like, yeah, women talk like that. We think like that. We may not have a third leg, but we still get a rise out of things the same way that men do. So, yeah, it comes from a little bit of people that I know. It comes from a little bit of a personal experience, and it comes from a lot of imagination.
So why do they always say that men have a third leg? I never did get that. I don't understand that shit. Why is that always used as a goddamn example?
You
back out.
You cut it off. Hey, man, we had it for a while, so I'm thinking I'll bring it in today. How about that? Okay, go ahead and explain that one.
I call women split tails, and then I call men third legs. I mean, you don't have a split tail, I do, and you got a third leg, I don't. And that's just the way it kind of it's kind of.
But that's a good
visual.
That's a good way of explaining it.
I'd rather have it be called a third leg than a pinky finger. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah, like you gotta take the compliments where you can get them. Right?
That's right.
Yeah. I was just wondering, because you know I hear that all the time. Because I mean, when I was growing up, a pussy was a cock, and nowadays they call it a damn dick a cock, you know, white folks. So I'm trying to figure out how this shit got switched over anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm confused my damn self.
That's why they call it cock blocking. I mean, I don't understand that shit. Why they,
right.
you know, switch that shit over. But anyway, all right, let's get back to the book. Now I do have a copy of Mistress Memoirs you sent me, and I did read through it, and I did notice the poetry in there, and I thought that was clever, because a lot of books don't do that. A lot of people, you know, a lot of authors don't bring in their poetry as well, which I thought was pretty good. And the book is a good book, and I didn't get a chance to get the other one, so I can't really speak on that one. But we're definitely going to talk about that, because I want you to explain the mind of that character, like DV was saying, and kind of give us why this person is doing the killing and what motivated all this.
Well, in all of my books, first of all, I've been told that I have my writing is kind of poetic. So that's kind of why the poetry got in there. I already had the poetry pieces. They kind of fit. I had the storyline. I kind of just threw the poetry in there. It wasn't anything that I consciously did to try and make it a little different, but it just kind of felt real right. With the second book, Ask Nicely and I Might, which is, first of all, the title, I just love the title. It's just sassy, it's just sexy. And every time someone asks me where it come from, I don't know. I probably had one or two glasses of Moscato too many, and that's where it came from. You know, I really don't have a way of saying where that came from. But with this character, every time I write something, I want people to connect, because I think we all think that couldn't be me, you know, kind of even like the first character. I tell you that, you know, a lot of women think they couldn't be the mistress, but you could. And so even in this, I think a lot of people think that, oh, I couldn't be a serial killer, but I think we all one straw away from that, you know. Somebody hit you the wrong way, say something the wrong way, and you could you know, you could go snap like that. And so this character, that's what happens. She snaps. She snaps basically from a little bit of domestic abuse. But then from that, she just likes it. She just likes screwing guys. And then at the end, if he wasn't good enough, he didn't treat her right, whatever, she snaps and she kills him. And I just thought it was different to get into that mindset of, you know, what if you did get over the edge? Because a lot of women are right there and a lot of men are there too. And, you know, some of you guys, you got these crazy stalkers. You could be one night away from that happening to you. So it's kind of, that's where it comes from.
That's real.
Wow.
All my women are sane.
Wow. All your women sane, man.
Yeah.
How you know?
Because, you know.
But anyway, how you know, man?
Yeah, you know, it talks. You know what I'm saying?
I'm,
you treat them good, you treat them down, they tell you whatever you need to know.
Really? Okay. So when you fuck them real good, DV, and they start getting all into this shit, and then you tell them that they were just a toy, they don't want to fuck you up, man.
No, because you know what the thing is, man? The more BS that you're trying to tell a woman, the crazier she's going to get. Because, you know, you have to remember all these lies that you tell her. If you're always real with her, if you're always truthful with her, you know what I'm saying? She knows, you know, more often than not, she'll know where she stands, just like you should know where you stand. If she's just a cum bucket, you need to let her know that. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree with that. Well, I totally agree with that. I think there's a lot of people out here that sit here and think that women are just into this. They got to have romance, and if they screw you, then they're thinking about walking down the aisle. And sometimes that's true, but I used to say before I got married, I used to say there's a type I marry and there's a type of fuck, and neither, they weren't the same. They really weren't the same type of person. And I think if
you
know that up front. You know, and if you know that up front, both parties, then that's okay.
That's right. But, you know, a lot of times you put that stuff out in the front, everybody puts it on the table saying you won't be fuck buddies and all that, and see what happens is a lot of people mess up. If they're a fuck buddy, then you should just go ahead and take them, go to the fucking hotel. You don't talk about shit. You just fucking leave. But then everybody wants to sit there and start getting pillow talk and all this other shit, and then you start getting feelings and all that. But, you know, feelings are going to be in it anyway somewhere. But if you keep some of the stuff to a basic, you just fuck buddies, then I think you can avoid some of that. But a lot of times people say they can do this stuff and then they don't. They can't. So, you know,
and
I
like the fact you're saying people, because a lot of times everybody want to act like it's the woman that get attached. No, some men got over it too. And they, they get the case on it too.
Yeah, that's right. It's not women. We can't just put it on them, because a lot of times they're the ones that's the strongest. It's the man that be fucking up and be like, damn, you know, I was gonna just do this, and then, damn, she just tore my ass up. And the next thing you know, here you are. You were the one trying to find out what she's doing and following her, and she just like, well, I thought we was, you know, we put it on the table. I thought this was it.
Yeah.
You know?
that Negro is crazy, all right, you know. But, like, I mean, the thing is it comes down to what everybody's talking about, communication. You know, when the older you get, the more you realize who's within your realm of talking to and who's not. Because, you know, people try to play off like, well, I didn't know he was crazy. Yes, you did. You knew when he was slapped you on the second date, that fool was crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. I mean, the flags be there, but people don't want to. Well, you know, the flags be there, but a lot of times people don't want to admit it. You know, they see shit, but then they be like, well, nah, I just want to beat this dude anyway or this girl. And they see stuff, but they let it go. And then after they get in for a while and they get to where they feel like they've had enough of them, then all of a sudden they start seeing things that was already there in the first place. You know, it's just...
I remember...
You know, just to,
like...
Go ahead.
When I was doing a book show, you know, I basically asked a bunch of people who came by, would you rather have sex for the rest of your life with somebody who was just average, or would you rather have a screw of your life and then have her kill you afterwards? And overwhelmingly, the dude said, I'd rather her kill my ass afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
And that's how people are.
They was like, man, you can screw me, and if you kill me afterwards, and I die with a smile, rather than live the next 60 years with just terrible sex. And there's a lot of people that feel like that. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, people look past the obvious, you know, just to go for the pleasure.
So, Lorraine, let me ask you this question. Is there a such thing as terrible sex?
Yeah. I personally think it is, and maybe I'm different from a lot of women, but to me, I'd rather have no sex than bad sex, and there is such thing as bad sex. If I roll over afterwards and I'm not breathing hard and my little pinky finger could have did it better than the thing you pulled out, then you could just keep it. I mean, I can satisfy myself.
So are you blaming the guy for his size again? Like he told God, give me this little ass motherfucking dick, I'll take this one, that's what I want.
You know, and I'm going to be honest with you, one of y'all made a comment a few minutes ago that said as you get older, you think about things a little differently. I will say this, when I was younger, I kind of bought into that. It ain't the size, it's the motion of the ocean and all that good stuff, but right now, if you ain't bringing it and it ain't hard, it ain't big, it ain't long, then you can just step away from me. And I think as you get older, I'm a woman in my 40s, and there's something about a woman in her 40s. When we get in our 40s, we're not afraid to say what we want. We're not afraid to teach you, to tell you, and if you ain't bringing it, we're not afraid to tell you you ain't bringing it. And, you know, I don't think any male is responsible for my satisfaction, just like I don't think any woman is responsible for man's satisfaction. However, if you're not giving me what I want, I shouldn't sit and say, well, you know, it was you kind of rocked it. You was good when you was moving side to side. No, baby, if I'm not coming, I'm not coming, and that's the problem. So I'd rather, if I'm not coming, let's not go through the motions and pretend I am. I'm not going
to wait. So why you can't talk to the guy? Why you can't tell him what you want? Because I know sometimes guys don't want to hear that because they think they all that and shit. But, I mean, communication. DV hit it. You got to have some communication in your sexual, especially when women and men get into the age of 40. This is when you're at your sexual peak. That's when you're starting to really, really appreciate your body and all of that. So my thing is, if you're going to spend time trying to fuck somebody, and I mean, if you really care about them, then why can't you tell them? Why can't y'all be able to talk about what it is you need?
You're right on that. I think communication is very important. I mean, and in both of my books, that's one of the things that I touch on is that the communication is important. But I think you're also, sometimes somebody, you can communicate with a person all day long, and if they can't do it, they can't do it. If they can't do it for you, I guess is what I'm saying, then they can't do it for you. If you like a certain feel and you like a certain size, a certain girth, a certain way, you can sit here and tell them, well, move this way. You can tell them, eat me and practice the alphabet this way. You can do all of those things, and they can be doing their best. But if their best, even through that communication, still ain't hitting it the way it needs to be hit, then it's not being hit. So I do believe that there's a thing such as bad sex. Not for lack of trying. Someone may be trying their darndest, but if they ain't doing it for you, they ain't doing it for you. So there is a such thing as bad sex, but for me, I'd rather have none than bad sex. That's just my personal thing.
Okay. That's good.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean about the communication.
I understand.
Purpose?
I really do. That's why I asked the question, because I know there is bad sex, but I wanted to get your opinion of what your opinion of bad sex was, and you did give that. So, I mean, you know, but a lot of times, you know, some women, not all, will blame the guy's size and all that as if he chose what size dick he wanted.
Right,
you know,
right.
And, you know, but that's not the case. You know, I
and
mean,
so
the guy
some,
didn't.
Some women.
But you're right. He's got to be able to know how to use it. And if he can't use it for you the way you want it, then I guess it's just
bad. And then
bad
for some people. And for some women, it ain't all about size. It is the motion of the ocean, and that's good, but I'm saying everybody likes a certain thing a different way, and that's kind of like, you know, like some people say they're against masturbation. Why would I be doing it to myself, you know? When you masturbate, you know what you like, so you're going to hit it right all the time. And so the same thing with somebody that you're with, not necessarily that the size may not be right, but you can tell them what you like all day long. You can put their hands right there all day long. You can tell them this all day long, and if they still ain't able to do it the way that you like, then that is a problem. So it's not always necessarily communication. It just may be the actual act itself, and the person that's doing it just, you know, ain't good at it. Just because somebody works in McDonald's and can flip a burger doesn't mean that they could be some gourmet cook either. There's two different things, you know what I mean? So you can tell that person flipping burgers all day long what to do, but then they ain't going to be able to go and make a filet mignon either, you know what I mean? It's not going to work.
Right.
So that sort of thing. I get
everything you're saying, and I like the way you explained it. But it's just sometimes the way some women, not all, and men, but you don't really hear men all the time talking about bad sex, but there is some that do. But my thing is, because you hear women most of the time talk about it. I mean, it's even featured in movies and in different things. You always hear the women talking about the men and how fucked up they are or whatever. And, you know, even waiting to exhale and all that. You know, the thing is, you know, they make it like the guy is just doing it on purpose. And it's just, you know, I mean, I don't know. But I guess
yeah, and, you know, another thing that, and this is just back on the author tip, as a female writer, I've been in several anthologies. I'm in the Chicken Soup for the Soul, a couple anthologies, and that's good. My books are my books, and to me that's where I shine because that's my creativity. It's not me being in a cookie-cutter mold of what the anthologies are. But in my books, one of the things you will notice about me, I am not one of these type of women that blame men. I don't sit here and, oh, the baby daddy this. I don't, that's not my
yeah,
sort of
male
thing.
Bash. Yeah.
I don't male bash, and you know, and I probably shouldn't put this out in the universe. You don't think I'm crazy, but I am convinced that I was a male in another life. I just have too many male tendencies, male things that go on through my head. And it's just like when you were saying a minute ago, and I was like, well, let's not just say it's the women that do this. It could be the man, or it could be the man that does this, and it's not necessarily the women. I think too many times people sit here and blame stuff, all men do this. No, all men don't do that. It may be that, you know, every man you done been with has been that way, or every woman you done been with is that way, but that don't mean, I don't like stereotyping, and I don't do that with my characters. If anything, if you read my books, you're more inclined not to like the women than you are the men, because I have such a dominant way about me, I put that in my character. So in the latest book, Ask Nicely and I Might, the detective, in my head, she's Jada Pinkett Smith. So she's got the little small frame, but she's that feisty, sexy, but domineering type personality.
Right.
In the opening scene, she's got a guy handcuffed to the bed, and, you know, she's in her detective outfit, and she's, like, working him over, and then after she gets her nut, she tells him, okay, you know, close the door on your way out, hurry up, you know, you're letting the light in, and then basically she's the one, like, okay, get up and leave, you know what I mean, where most of the time you see in books, the women are saying it's the other way around, that the man just hit it and quit it, but in my book, the women are the ones hitting it and quitting. So, you know,
and that's just a different spin. Right. And I kind of do that in my books as well, because most of the people, the characters in my books, you know, a lot of them have been women, have been the leaders and been doing those kind of things as well, just because I like that side of it, you know what I mean? And I wasn't a woman in another life, but still the thing is, you know, I just like to see that side, because you get the stereotype, like you said, all the time. And since you think like a man, in so many ways, I think that's pretty good that you bring that in your writing, and that's good because, like I said, you want to get other sides of things instead of it just being a stereotypical side of just being a certain way. You know, you want to give other things.
And the only problem with that, and I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but for me, the only problem with that is because I don't give in to that thinking that all men are dogs, all men are out there, you know, baby daddies that ain't paying this, that, and the other. Because I don't give in to that, some of the time I do lose a little bit of a female audience because they're like, oh, you know, the man wouldn't have done this. So that, you know, they can't relate sometimes to my characters because they want it to be the guy is the dog. And, you know, in some relationship, the man is the dog, but in some relationships, the woman is the dog. And I think that's reality.
Right.
So I kind of like try and stay in that realm.
And it's nothing wrong with that. And your guests or your audience that's going to be following you, your audience, it'll you know, get to the point where, and you've been writing for a while, you know this already, but it's going to be the right ones that follow you that like that story. Eventually, it'll be just those that do, that like that versatile, you know. but like I said, you know, it's just what it is, and it's more life. And I think as writers, we try to write as much as close to life as possible. Even though it's fiction, you want people to relate to some of the things. And if it's always the guy, dog, and the woman all the time, I mean, how much of that do you want to read? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I understand that, and that's very good. Now, let me see if we have anybody out there that may have a question. I'm going to try this 916 number. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from if you have a question. You have a question, caller? Yes,
hello?
How you doing? State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Miss Cotton, and I'm calling from Sacramento.
Man, how come I always get you? Look, Cotton is a friend of mine, but I always seem to pick her number all the time, and it's not like I have her number memoir. She's an author as well. She does poetry. So go ahead and say your question and speak to our guest, Miss Lorraine.
How you doing, Miss Lady? I was just listening in, and I guess I don't have a question, but I just have a statement, and I love you because you don't mail that.
And I really like that. You know, what type of poetry do you write?
She writes erotic poetry.
Oh, see, that's good. That's good.
She writes all that.
I have a question for you, though.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question for you, though. For me, I'm a writer, and it's funny. People think that because I write that I can speak and that I can talk and I can do the motivational thing and all of that, and I don't. I don't like that. God gave me a gift to write, and I can write. However, my book has quite a bit of erotic poetry in it, and it came to me and just it flows through me. It's very good. I'm always astonished when I see people get up and they're able to read their poetry, and if it's erotic before an audience and it has that whole smoky feel, that whole erotic thing. So when you write poetry, since you called in, I can ask you this question. When you write poetry, do you write it with the ambition to read it, to be able to be in front of somebody and say those words? Because, like, when I write it, I'm writing it for somebody to read it. I'm not really writing it for me to stand up and say it. But as a poetry writer, do you write it so that you can say it somewhere, that you can be a spoken word artist?
Cotton, before you answer, let me say this. Let me tell you, Lorraine, this woman is very, very erotic in her when she reads her poetry. It is so damn seductive. Motherfuckers be hard. Women be looking like you got in your book the glass, emergency dick in a glass, pulling that shit out or whatever. I'm going to tell you. Now, Cotton, go ahead.
Yes, I do. I actually do because, and the reason why that is because I am a sexual person.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I'm having sex with everybody, but I am comfortable with my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get up to read, I kind of want people to feel what I'm feeling. And the only way for you to understand what I'm feeling when I write it is for me,
mm-hmm.
to get up and read it in front of you. So I put on my extra soft spoken voice so that you can understand what a sister is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to get into that right now. You'll have everybody. If there's any men out there listening, you'll be fucked up right now. Okay. Now, I don't even want to go there.
I just
see, Lorraine, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, I called because I appreciate that she's not a male basher, because I said I've gotten so, and I think I've talked to Red about this, I've gotten so sick of listening to women male bash, and I just put something on my page on Facebook today and said, you know, basically at the end of it was, those same men that you're male bashing, keep in mind that they were raised by women, some of them
were raised
by women, so you got to keep that in mind.
Right.
So I appreciate that she's not a male guy.
And I like that you said that, you know. And I think, you know, how you're saying about the erotic, I think there's some women that really are more sexually in touch with themselves than men, and there's more some men that are. And to sit here and try and lump it into one category and say that either sex is a certain way is you know, it's just not reality, you know.
Right.
So I appreciate
right.
what you said, too, you know.
Right. Well, I'm glad y'all agree, because I agree with both of you as far as that, because, you know, I mean, I don't understand why some women do the male bash. I guess, like you said, they've been through some stuff or whatever, but, you know, I know men treat women bad, too, when they say these words, call them names and stuff like that, but, I mean, it's just, I think we just need to take a look at that and just kind of start treating each other more as what we are, because we're creatures that should adore each other. That's what we're here for, instead of trying to dog them out. I mean, even though there are some women that want to be called bitch or hoe or whatever, I mean, if that's what they want to be called, then you deal with that one. But don't, and I'm guilty of this myself, because sometimes I will say that stuff in general and not, and I shouldn't, because it doesn't mean that everyone is that. So,
well, you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what, the thing that I had to learn, and I'm 42, the thing that I had to learn, and I think a lot of women definitely should learn, is that you have to take some responsibility for your role that you played in him treating you badly, because you stayed even though you knew he was going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I don't feel sorry for certain women, because you decided that even though you knew he was a dog, just like he knew she was a gold digger, you wanted to deal with her anyway because she was cute.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to deal with him because he could buy her all the stuff that she wanted, and his dick was huge and big enough for her. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then later they cry about it. You know, now you want to cry that think that you ain't getting the dick no more, and he ain't spending the money on you no more. Now you got a problem.
And that's
right.
Exactly why, you know, I said to DV, but before I got married, I used to say that. I said, there's a type of man I screw and a type of man that I marry. I knew that what I was attracted for just to get a nut off. Now, don't get me wrong. You want to marry somebody that fulfills all your needs. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you just want some raw, nasty sex, and that ain't the type of the person you're getting that from ain't the type of person you actually don't want to marry. And, I mean, I knew that.
Why not?
And then,
why not?
Well,
why not?
Well, I think a lot of women like that bad boy thing. I have to admit, I think
yeah.
a lot of women like that bad boy thing. Just like
but
a lot
they don't
of
want
men
that shit
do.
At home.
Right. I mean, you don't want that bad boy to want to hang out in the club. I used to have this boyfriend. We would walk in the club. Everybody knew him. And when he walked in, the people in the club started singing, Fillmore runs this motherfucker. Hoop, de hoop. So he'd
damn.
Walk in and the club was singing that. And then sex with him was off the chart. Now, did I want that type of person to be married to, that everywhere he went, everybody was acting like that? No, that's ghetto. It's kind of the same thing about some men. You kind of like them women that can do the booty tricks, and they're going to drop it like it's hot and jump on your dick every now and then. You like that, but you don't want to marry that too. So to me, you kind of need a happy medium. You need somebody that's going to satisfy you, and they're going to do the nasty stuff the way you like it, but not totally like it.
Like, so it's the same, like men want the lady on the street and the freak in the bed, so I guess y'all want a gentleman in the street and freak in the bed in that aspect.
Right.
You know, if he's presentable outside and then fuck the shit out of you when he gets you at home. I got
right.
Okay. All right. Well, let me see if we can get some more questions. Thank you, Cotton, and I'm sorry, I always get you, baby. I'm sorry. I always get you, but it's good because you always have so much to bring to the show anyway, so. All right, let me see if I can get another caller. I had a caller from 973 earlier. Do you have a question now, caller?
Hi, how are you?
How are you? And state your name again and where you're calling from.
Okay, I'm Gwen Carter, and I brought Andrea Clinton on to speak with you previously.
Right.
Yeah, uh-huh. So
how
when
you
said
doing?
Gold digger, I said, oh, there we are right there.
Okay. Well, then go ahead with your comment, because I know you got one.
Yeah. And, you know, it was so funny because when the young lady Cotton was speaking and she was saying, you know, when she's talking about her book and she gets that sexy voice, and I'm like, yeah, baby, you have to get low with it, you know. So.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I know my voice is sounding terrible today.
And I was thinking about the author that what I did was I took a Toastmasters class. And really bring it out in you, you know, because it gives you examples of everything that you can do to, you know, when you're speaking in front of people. And maybe
mm-hmm.
that might help out also, you know, because as an author, I just came from a meet and greet Saturday, and they had Tamika Newhouse, they had Sister Betty. I mean, they had so many authors there. And when they got up, they
right.
got out their books, you know, and read different parts. So, you know, that's what people are going to expect when you go to, you know, these meet and greets. And so maybe
right.
take a class might help out, because it did help me a lot, you know. And it teach you how to speak, what to say, and, you know. And but, you know, getting back to the erotic and all of that, you know, you do want that, you know, freak sometimes, and, you know, but you don't want to bring them home. You know, because that third lot don't know how to act when they're around civilized people. You
right,
know?
Right.
You know, they don't
exactly.
yeah, what up and all. You know, I mean, no. If you're around doctors, lawyers, and all, and you come with that, and they're like, "Well, gee," you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, that goes back to what I was saying earlier, Lorraine. When I was saying that if you want this person like that, and they're going to be your fuck buddy, then just take them to the hotel or wherever you're going to take them to. Fuck them and let them go. You don't try to communicate with these motherfuckers. You just tell them what you want. You do the shit, and then you send his ass home. That's it.
Exactly.
You don't take them somewhere where everybody else is and all the people that you, you know, your normal circle, you're just using them for what? The sex. That's it. Right?
The booty call.
Booty call. There you go.
I just wanted it to be known that that happens on both sides is all I was saying.
It does.
Because I think a lot of times people want to act like the woman is the one that's going to catch a case and catch some feelings. And it can just be the opposite because a woman can lay it down on a man just as well and make it be real good. And then she'd be like, okay, thank you, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That's all I need. I needed my pipes clean. Now you're going about your business. And then, you know, the man may be the one that catch a case of feelings. So I think exactly what you're saying, but it needs to be upfront that this is all this is. You're not ever going to be wifey. He's not ever going to be husband or whatever. It is what it is, and as long as both people know what time of day it is, then it's okay.
Right. That's good. And like you said, you lay it on the table in the beginning, but sometimes you have to relay it. Depending on how long
that's true.
You're going to be in a relationship. You got to retell them again. Look, remember what we agreed on?
Right.
Because if you don't, they'll start tripping and shit. So you got to retell them. This is what we agreed on. Before we go any further, we need to make sure we understand that we said we were just going to fuck on Wednesdays at this time, at this hotel. So don't be trying to be following me and trying to go out and go to the movies and shit because we ain't doing all that. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
don't be trying to get no feelings in.
I'm in a lot of groups that are just women, and women talk or whatever, and I've always found it quite interesting. Like a topic of the day may be, you know, what's the weirdest thing you did for love? Did you slit his tires because he did this? Did you beat him up? Did you beat the girlfriend up? And I've always wondered, you know, everybody's different, but I can honestly say I've never fought another woman over a guy. I've never slit his tires. I've never done anything vengeful because to me, you want to be with me, cool. I want to be with you, cool. If you don't, then bye. You know, and I've never, I don't.
But Lorraine, let me tell you, it's not a lot of women that do that. They make it look like that on TV or these movies and stuff that a lot of women do all this stuff. But I don't think there's a lot of women that do that. Now, they want to get revenge and stuff like that if they really fall into this guy doing this shit. But I don't think that there's a lot of women that do all this slashing and all this shit.
I'm saying a couple of my friends, they say that they do that or that they get angry at the woman. And yes, and that's what has always astonished me because I've never understood that. I'm like, okay, why? Why are you going to fight over something? You don't own that. You can't. You don't raise your leg and put your sin on no man just like he don't raise his leg and put no sin on you. Nobody owns one another. Not to mention, I was just having a conversation with my husband the other day. I think monogamy is not natural. You get with somebody and you make the commitment, you've gotten married or you're going to be a husband, wife, boyfriend, and girlfriend, but that's you making a commitment to act that way because in reality, we're all animals, and animals just want to hit it. They want to procreate. They want to, you know, that's what the whole purpose is for.
That's that man side of you. Yes, it is. I see it because, you know, sometimes, I hope the people that are listening to me don't take this wrong because, like I said, this is not me per se. Well, yeah, it is, but don't take it wrong, people that's listening. I think that sometimes, you know, and this is sometimes I think that I just think that sometimes we're not made to be with one person. I know the Bible says all this and everything, but I just think that, I mean, the way things are, I mean, it just seems like you're not. So I don't know, and I'm not saying it's right to go out there and mess around and all this. If you're in a committed relationship, I'm just saying it just seems to me like it's just so easy for people to do this because it's, like you said, animals. I don't know if there's only a few animals in the world that stick with one mate and stay with them. You know, and it's only, I think you can count them on one hand how many animals that actually do that. And, you know, man is one of them. But, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I hope nobody's taking what I'm saying out of context because I'm not advocating that people mess around. I'm just saying that when you're with somebody, it's because you have made a conscious choice and a conscious decision to just be with one person. But that's not your natural tendency. That's something you have to make an effort to do. And I think that's where things get all complicated. Everybody think because they walk down the aisle or because they said, that's my man, then all of a sudden, that's my woman, then all of a sudden, all your other instincts are supposed to fly out the window and all you can see is that one person. All you can do is smell their pheromones and they're the only person in the world for you. That don't automatically happen. It's a choice. It's a constant choice.
That's right.
It's not an
act.
You know, it's not,
And I'm glad you're saying that because it's true. I mean, mm-hmm. you're right. A lot of people think that all the other stuff just cuts off.
Right.
You know, you just
right.
you know, it just cuts off. You don't see nobody no more.
Right.
I was dating a female once, this lady, a few months ago, and it was a first date. It was just a date. I wouldn't even know if it was gonna go past that point, you know. But she was already telling me that I was looking at other people too long. I'm like, but damn. I mean, we're walking around, and you see me looking at somebody, and you already saying that I'm looking at them too long. I mean, what the hell, you know? So I'm just wondering, what do people really think? You know what I'm saying? As far as that, like you said, it's a conscious decision that you both have to make to decide whether you don't want to be with somebody else, and then you got to work on it afterwards, because
right.
it's in human nature that you're going to look at other people and that you're going to be attracted to them. But then the choice is yours whether you take it to another level or not.
Exactly, and I just had a conversation the other day with my husband. I told him, I said, I am not one of these women that's going to try. You can't, like, if I'm walking down the street with him and he sees somebody, I'm like, oh, you like her butt, right? She got the kind of butt you like. And he lets me look at people. There's nothing wrong with that. My thing is, I told him, I said, I want us to be able to be in a room, and it's me, you, and 12 Holly Berries. And you see all them Holly Berries, and then you still come to me. If you don't and you choose to go with one of them Holly Berries, then you go be with one of them Holly Berries. I am never going to try and remove temptation as a way to keep you here. I want you to be here because you want to be here. And if you don't want to be
right.
here, then that's fine. And I think that's the problem people have. They think, okay, if I make him not be able to see anybody else, or if he don't go here or she don't go there and they're not around this person, then they won't have temptation. Temptation's going to be there. So either you make the choice to avoid the temptation, or you go in that way. But to me, I'm never going to be one to tell somebody you can't look, because I'm sure enough going to look. If I see a Morris Chestnut, I'm going to look. I see LL Cool J, I'm going to look. And I'm not even going to hide the fact that I'm looking. I'm grown.
When you look, it doesn't mean that you don't care about you, or you don't care about your mate or anything. I don't understand that.
You're human.
You know, people just, I mean, you're human, you're going to see something. And if you don't, I mean, you're going to think something's wrong anyway. I mean, it doesn't mean that you want to do them. You know, you might, but still, it doesn't mean that you're going to take it to the next level. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because like I said, you're human. So let's see if we can get another caller. I think this is a 913-710 number. Do you have a question? Caller, tell us where you're calling from and what's your question. Hello, caller? Okay, maybe they don't have a question. Sometimes we just have people that just want to listen. And let's see, let's try one more number. This is all one, so I don't know if they want to intentionally hide. say your name, caller. Where are you calling
Brad, we fight, man. We about to fight. You hear me? Like, my phone died. And you hear my ass listening to all this, and I couldn't say nothing. We going to fight.
Okay, well, you're back now, brother. I got you back now.
I was
okay.
like, this nigga, he going to let me on this line? I'm going to have to come
but
up to Kansas City and do some ass whooping.
Look, man, don't get mad at me, because all these damn number ones don't mean it's you. Shit, I don't know who that is. Okay, go ahead.
I was like, man, I'm listening to all this good conversation just pass me by. I'm like, man, I'm about to throw up in my mouth, man. I'm so sick.
Okay, DV, go ahead. You can comment now.
It's too late. All the good shit been said. I'm just like, damn, I can say something about that. No, but like... But, like, look, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of, I think the relationships are kind of placate our egos, you know what I'm saying? Because, number one, homo sapien means wise man. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, narcissistic. But in order to be considered, for us to consider ourselves wise, you know, we have to think we're better than animals. So what do? We institute all these policies and laws that make us better than animals. And one of those policies, you know, is relationships. You know, it takes a lot of will, a monstrous amount of will every day for the rest of your life to commit to that same person, you know, and not do anything. So in that
right, essence, and it doesn't mean you don't love them or nothing. You have to work at it. Yeah.
But in that essence, what they're telling you is the people who do that are better than you. And in a way they are, because who turns down, it comes down to self-control. Because if somebody who I'm attracted to is throwing pussy at me, who am I to tell them no? You know what I'm saying? What kind of man?
Well, you know,
throwing a hungry man steak. It's like, here, hungry
but
man,
I
know you hungry. Here, had his steak, and he says, no, thank you. That's a good man.
Yeah, I got you. But I think it also depends on where you are in your relationship, too. I mean, you know, I mean, if you really content, because there's a time, like, as you get older, you're going to get more content in what you're in. I don't know if you just be like, well, fuck it, I'm just gonna stay with this one because I don't have the energy anymore or whatever. But the thing is, like you at the stage right now, somebody throws some pussy at you, you gonna take the shit. But then again, you single, so I mean, you gonna take the shit. But I mean, if there's motherfuckers out there that's really trying to be with somebody and they really are trying, then just like it does say in the Bible, you gotta run. You can't be around that shit because you will take it. You need to run from it.
So you know what the greatest test is being able to run like a motherfucker. There you go. Yeah.
I
told like every woman who I've ever dated, I tell them this. You know what I'm saying? I love all things Stacey Dash. I don't give a shit how old she is. I love that woman. I will drink her bath water, even on the worst day.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah, like bath water.
Man, I don't even care. She got dingleberries. Man, slurp. All right, you know all things Stacey
okay.
Dash. I'm loving. All right, but
okay.
if I were in a relationship and Stacey Dash was butt booty ass naked on the other side of the room, I'm sorry, I'm not in a relationship no more. That's just the way it is.
But guess what? You're not married, so you can do that. So if you was married,
no,
you would do that, right?
But if I'm married, I probably have to reconsider. You know, because it takes a monstrous amount of self. It takes a monstrous amount of will and a monstrous amount of self control to turn down something that's been thrown at you. Because as men,
let me tell you what you're gonna do. You're gonna find a way to go around that shit so your wife won't find out.
From the time we hit puberty, we've been trying to get women for God knows how. That has been like any straight man. That has been his mission from the time he hit puberty. Get sex. And now you got somebody throwing sex at you, and you supposed to say no, thank you? Really?
But what if the motherfucker's fucked up? What if she's ugly and she, you don't want that shit?
Well, then it's easy to say no.
They throwing it at you?
Huh? It's easy to say no then. Like, you know, if she got like three teeth in her mouth, you know what I'm saying, we still thinking, well, she might get good head.
Now,
because
you might say, if a motherfucker don't, no, you might say this. And nobody gonna know and shit. Like some motherfuckers, you
know what I'm saying?
Like,
when I was a teenager, I was so horny that I got with this girl with stinky cooch. I didn't care. I was like, damn it, I need this.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Lorraine, what you got? You got that male thought. What you think about that?
I don't like the fact that he keeps saying male things. Like I said before, I'm not a male bachelor or whatever. And I think you got some women that's on that same line or whatever.
Yeah,
and
right.
I will say this. I have a very flirtatious nature about me. I have been that way since I was 13. I will flirt with anybody. I'm a Cancer, which is funny because we're supposed to be all like lovey-dovey and... No, but I act like I'm Scorpio or something. I don't know. I've got some issues, but
not all Scorpios are freaks, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Not all the
Virgos
are freaks. Virgos are. Yeah. Go ahead.
But
I
kind of disagree with him on the thing that he says that just, you know, guys are that way, and that if you're in a relationship and then he walked in the room and there's Stacey Dash, then he's no longer in a relationship. I don't think that's prevalent to just the male person. I think, you know, there's some females out there that same way. But I also think, you know, I told my husband, let some of these boxers come up to me and be talking to me, and you know, it's like, look,
what
baby, can we do the indecent? Can
she
we do
Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones Jr. That's my baby daddy from another life. He just don't know it. But anyway, Mayweather, I'm into him too, and I'm telling you, either one of them came up with one of these, we'd have to do this indecent proposal thing. I don't know if you saw that movie where the millionaire paid to be with the woman.
Yeah, right.
He can go and pay, and he can hit it, and then as long as you don't ask me no questions later. We good to go. We just good to go.
Right.
But see, like,
Lorraine, it's got to be $1 million involved, or we just call him and get it one for the book.
She lying. She like $1 million. I will pay $1 million, damn it.
Well, Lorraine, you didn't answer. Would you just go ahead and have sex, or does $1 million have to be in there?
Look, you know what? It really don't have to be. And I think most of this is coming from me as I done got older or whatever. But you know what? I think one of them said to me.
I know that's right.
I can't, I can't say that I would just go on that way because I have made commitments and I have said some things. But on the same token, like he's saying, you throw it that way, I don't know.
Like she said, you know what I'm saying? It comes out of control, man.
See, that goes
with
you. You don't know what you're going to do until you're in that situation. That's exactly what my first book is all about. It's everybody sitting here saying what they wouldn't do, and then you put yourself in that situation and you singing a whole different song. You don't know.
You made that brother cop. I'm sorry, I'm cleaning the chicken, man. I'm so hungry. I'm about to cook me something to eat. So, you know, my bad, man. I ain't mean to make it sound feminine. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make it sound like as a woman. Take that back. My man washed dishes too, right? Okay, no problem. Mine does. Okay. Now, seriously, though, I mean, you know, it's just like you said, like I said earlier, I think that it depends on where you are in your relationship and how you're feeling in your age bracket at the time on whether you'll do something or not. Because, you know, some people do stuff, whatever reason or what's going on in the relationship will determine that. I think that, you know, or if you just really want to be with that person and you want to do it, you'll do it. I mean, it just depends. Like you said, you made some commitments to your husband now. So some of those things you probably won't do. It'll probably take a little bit more to get you to do that than it would somebody, you know, any other time that you was in, probably.
Well, so, you know, it's funny. That's one of the reasons I'm a writer, because then I can live vicariously through my characters.
Yeah, and don't.
So all the things that I want to do, I can just make my characters do it, and I can get out that way, and then I'm good to go, and then I can come home and act right.
Yeah, you don't act right. You be like, you're going to give me some. I just wrote this good story.
You know,
stop
lying,
because we all do.
He was in the military,
when we write, when we write hot-ass sex scenes, we need to get some. I don't know why anybody lying. When you write a good sex, like, I wrote one today, and I was like, damn, I need me some. Because that's the first thing on your mind. You're like, I just pecked this out, and it's hot, so now I got to act this out.
That's why you write the scene. When you write the scene, sometimes I ain't going to lie, and people don't be judging me, but hey, sometimes I got to stop in the scene if it's really good and take care of some shit and then come on back. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to do that, whether it's yourself or whoever. But I mean,
that's what you're
writing erotica for.
If it doesn't get you hot,
then how do you expect somebody else to get hot?
That's exactly right. I agree with that.
Yeah. So, that's what I do. I mean, sometimes I got to relieve myself. That shit is hot as a motherfucker. I mean, you know, cause I'm a detailed writer. If you ever read anything that I write, it's detailed and it's step by step and everything is there. You don't have to guess shit. It's right there before you. So if you're not getting hot, then it ain't worth it.
You ain't doing it right.
That's right.
You ain't hot. Man, if you writing a sex scene and you ain't hot, you ain't doing it right.
Exactly.
And I don't care who you talking to, if they can walk away from a sex scene like, hey, that was good. Well, you need to rewrite
it. Exactly.
Because if you ain't,
if you ain't about to bang somebody
to jack off, then you ain't did it right.
Exactly.
That's what Lorraine be killing me. She be like, oh, you going to give me something. I just wrote this hot-ass scene. I'm going to take it if I have to.
I can hardly see him cringing.
I can see your dude like, cool. All right.
I have no problem with that because, you know what, you can't rape anybody. You can't rape the willing. So if they willing, they just need a little bit of a push and a nudge, then that's okay. So I'm all right. So.
And see, you know, men can't be raped anyway unless they're sodomized. That'd be the only way they'd be raped.
Why do we have to go back here, man?
The reason why I'm saying that is because a lot of these guys, you're talking about they was raped and all this shit. How in the hell you going to get raped by a woman that you don't want
to
be with? Your dick is hard. You have to do that.
Okay, which one of y'all is talking? Who said that? Red.
Because I've slept with a woman I ain't want to sleep with. You know, just for positioning. You know what I'm saying?
And your shit got hard. You didn't want to be with
her. It was mutually beneficial. Like, the thing is like sometimes you do stuff you don't need to do to get to where you want to be. And damn it, I did what I had to do.
But you still made a choice to get hard. You still made a choice to get hard. You can't choose that. What do you mean you can't choose that?
Come on, DZ. You can choose to stay hard. You can't choose to get hard, man.
I'm going to let you have that one.
You think
I'm crazy?
I think you're crazy. You could have seen sitting in between your legs, sucking on your dick, and your dick is going to get hard. How are you going to sit here and act like you couldn't be crazy?
I didn't say that. Now, see, Lorraine, listen.
What?
Now you added a piece to it. You added an element to it. You added that she's down there sucking my dick. I'm talking about you looking at a motherfucker. She ugly. She
hey,
in the bed with you, and you ain't touching her. You ain't going to get hard unless you want to. Now,
man,
if a motherfucker's fucking with you, yeah, your shit going to get hard.
Wait, let's not, man, like, please tell me you ain't never got down on a girl with stinky puss.
I ain't said I ain't never done that.
Yeah,
Now you got caught. But it was a choice. It was a choice to do that shit.
Yeah, but it wasn't willing. You was like, oh, I need this, though.
Y'all trying to make like the dick has got his own mind and shit. It's just going to get hard.
It do.
Because it's going to
Let me ask you this. Please tell me that you ain't never came before you wanted to, even though your mind wanted to have. Your mind was like, God, I want this so bad, but your dick was like, man, fuck that. I need
that. That's different, man. You in the act already.
Yeah, but everything different, man. It's not that. Because you know what? The mind is willing sometimes, man. The mind is willing, but the body is not able. And sometimes it
right.
works that way.
I agree with you. But I ain't never heard nobody say, oh, my dick just gets hard because it wants to and shit. I ain't got no control of it.
What are you talking about? Morning wood? I wake up every morning with a hard dick. All right? I don't wake up like, hey, dick get hard. It's just that. I can't stop that.
Right.
You know the only thing that stops it? I got to pee. All right. You know, the hardest thing in the world to do is aim that shit while you hard. So it's just like, man, now I got to think of things to get soft.
So,
oh, y'all funny.
Ugly snaggatooth motherfucker that come up to you and she just... She start playing with your shit is going to automatically do it. You can't stop it, and you just got to fuck
it. If she play with it the right way, hell yeah.
That's not like a motherfucker that's going, that's just like fucking and going to fuck anyway. That's what that sound like. That don't sound like I ain't got no control of my dick.
No, like,
that
the thing
like,
is,
I'm just gonna
it's
fuck.
Like this. If you touching my balls, you win. I'm sorry. That's just what it is. And if she get like, because I'm going to tell you, there's nothing in my world, there's nothing worse than two things. If a woman can't kiss, my dick is soft. If a woman rides like she really riding a real horse and she's banging on my balls, I'm not hard. And even then, I'm mad. Now I'm mad. You know what I'm saying? Because there's nothing worse. It's like somebody punching you in your balls, and it's not a good feeling. So then I'm mad.
I got you.
But other than that, I'm happy. And I can't control the happy.
I got you, bro.
Buddy.
All right. That's cool. So, Lorraine, does that work for women like that, too?
Does what work like that? I don't agree with you on a lot of things. I mean, okay, tell me this, Red. You have never, like, looked at a woman or something and gotten hard where you weren't, she ain't touching you, it ain't anything like that. Because you're sitting here acting like a dick don't have a microphone, and it does.
I think you guys are taking it out of context. If I'm a woman and I get hard, which I do, then that means I want to if I'm attracted to that woman. But if I'm not attracted, my shit ain't going to fucking work like that.
So if she walk up to you,
it's what you feel about that. Now, if the woman is touching you like DV was saying, and even though he don't like the bitch, she touching him a certain way, his shit going to get hard because he likes the way she's touching him.
If she got me tied down and there's nothing I can do about it, you know what I'm saying? If I can't walk away from her, you know what I'm saying? Then it's a bad situation. If she got me tied down to a bedpost and she playing with me, she wins.
Okay. And I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
But if I can walk away not attractive, then you know, I can do whatever I want to do. But that's what I was just saying.
But I was just kind of saying that. But, I mean, you guys are like, you know,
okay,
like I was wrong.
No, what I'm saying is, okay, let's say one night you get fucked. No, like, let's say one night you get real fucked up. You get drunk, and then you bang
keep putting
some chick that
in
you're really
drunk.
Not attracted to.
If a motherfucker's fucked up, you're going to have some beer goggles on. Everything's going to fucking look good.
But
you know you're going to fuck. Why are you giving
me these
situations, man?
But if you wake up next to her, you know what I'm saying, and she butt-booty-ass naked, you butt-booty-ass naked, and you got a little morning wood, you ain't going to get it before you go to work?
I didn't say that. If you didn't already fuck the bitch, of course you're going to jump on her motherfucking ass the next day. Who's going to know, right?
That's what I'm saying. You know, she your dirty little secret.
right? I got it. I got you, brother. I got you. Okay. I'm wrong. You guys are right.
Well, okay. I will answer your question.
No, it's not about right and wrong. We're just playing with you, man. We're just playing with you.
But it's okay. It's not about right. I mean, everybody has an opinion, and those that are listening, we want y'all to be able to understand that that's what the show is about. We talk about things, and we just, you know, everybody has their opinion. Now, hopefully people will call in if they got something to say, and we can, you know, talk about it. That's what we do.
And we can talk about them.
215-8539, we're Sexy Radio, and we got about 20 minutes left. And, Lorraine, you said you had a question.
Well, I didn't have a question. I just wanted to answer what you said, and I will preface this by saying this. I'm a married woman, so everything that you read in my books, that's all made-up shit. That's entertainment. Now, with that being said...
You know, Lorraine, I say that all the time.
We call
I'm
that a disclaimer. That's a disclaimer. You just don't want to get caught.
Lorraine, listen, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm a single man. And every time when I talk to most of these women that I do talk to and they find out I'm a writer, they think that all this shit is real. And I'd be trying to tell them it's fiction, but they still think that the shit's real. Or I did it, or I want to do it, or something. So now, give me something on that.
Okay, and so as I say that, I will say my first book, like I said, was written. Half of it I was under Moscato, and I'm drunk. I wake up the next day, oh, that's some good shit. Who wrote that? Me. Oh, okay. But I do think part of it is my alter ego, and I do tell you that I live vicariously through my characters. They get to do the shit I am not allowed to do. So that being said, I think that a man can be raped. I do think that, you know, you can sit there and not want it, but if the woman's touching you, she's got some things going on, whatever, it's against your will, so it can happen. I also think that, like I said, you being with somebody else outside of a marriage or a relationship, that's a choice. But I also think all people, males, females, you have those desires, you have those urges. And no, it wouldn't take $1 million for me to have to sleep with Roy Jones. All he has to do is ask nicely.
Slap the hell out of you. Like,
so he can't say,
yes.
Bitch, get over here and give me some pussy. And is that nicely or,
you know what I'm saying? He's like, give me that ass. Okay.
Yeah, give me that ass.
So,
that's right. There you go.
So,
you didn't even say that. You just bend over. You're like, just be gentle.
Bend the fuck
mostly.
Over.
It's not just men that you know, somebody's throwing it at them and they can't say no or they're going to take it. I mean, women have that same thing, and I think a lot of women want to act like that ain't it, but, you know, especially if you're a nice-looking woman, if you got a personality, you got a little thing going on, men throw the shit at you, too. You know, it's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to say no? Are you going to say yeah? Are you going to go with it? And I don't like the whole thing that if a woman pursues her sexuality and all of a sudden she's a hoe, but if a man do it, it's okay. That's the kind of a problem that I think that goes on. You
well,
know,
you know
a lot of women.
And that's the
double standard
again. See, that's society
a
with the double standard. You're right. And that's in the United States because other countries I've been in, and you was in the military, you know how it is. You traveled a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other countries, they can get away with shit that we just don't do. And then us being black, we have a further taboo from the church and other things that has been put in us to make us think that we ain't supposed to do certain shit when we really can. You're
mm-hmm.
right. And I think it's really messed up that women get the raw deal that they are hoes if they be with who they want to be and shit. Like, the thing I hate is when somebody get with me, if I get a situation, they come over that night, first night or whatever it is, I don't know how many do this. That shit turns me the fuck off. Don't tell me that shit. Because if I'm grown and you want to be with you, if you want to be with somebody, just do this shit. Why you got to, I don't know how many do this. Like, you getting judged because you, who's judging you? At that point, it's fucking too late. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So why are you bringing that shit up? I don't normally do this. You know, I hate those words. But anyway.
But I'm going to tell you,
you're
like,
right.
I've lived
and
every reason.
Record, let me tell y'all this before you say this, DV. For the record, I was bullshit with y'all. Yeah, I know about being raped and all that shit. I know about your dick getting hard and fucking some shit that you don't want to. Let's just do it anyway. I know about it. I'm just going to admit it. Okay, go ahead. All right, now go ahead and ask your question.
So, but you know what? This is like, since I've been in the South, I meet a lot of repressed women. And when I was up north, you know, there's a lot of women like, suck a dick, ew, keep it away, psh, and they smack it. You know, down here,
right.
They be like, suck a dick, yay, put it in my ass next.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's just like, wow, you know, because there's a lot of women who don't necessarily want you to know these things, but they do these things. You know,
right.
So, I mean, it's just kind of, once
that
you get it out of
eat their pussy and then they don't want to suck your dick either, you know.
Yeah, that's not happening. That's just
that's
not happening. Why because you know what? I'm like, you know what?
And you don't want to give it back. What the fuck is that about? And men that don't want to fucking eat no pussy and want their dicks up. What kind of shit is that? Anyway, go ahead. We got 15 minutes.
Hey, you know what? I'm a firm believer in 88. Once you ate, I ate. You know what I'm saying? Simple as
that's
that.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's just my philosophy. Hey, I mean, if I meet somebody who's just like, yes, you know, I do the nasty, I swallow the whole deal, we friends, period.
Okay, I got a question for you all, since y'all are really entertaining me tonight. This is very funny. Okay. So the question was asked to me, is there anything as bad sex? So to
yes.
A male, and I'm just doing research for my next book. I don't really want to answer. This is research. But since I'm asking you.
All my answers are copywritten. I just want you to know you can't use my answers.
Is there such thing as a bad blowjob?
I let Red go.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
All right.
Really?
Hell yeah. One
so
thing I cannot stand is when they just don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yes. Preach on, preach.
When you get down there, teeth involved.
I was going to say that.
But see, my thing is this. If you're going to get down there and you're going to try to act like you can suck my dick, then at least let me, if I tell you how I want you to stroke the motherfucker or whatever, then try to at least do that. You know, you telling them and the motherfucker ain't doing the shit. Just like when a man's down there eating the pussy and he ain't listening to you because he think he know and shit. You trying to tell him about how to lick your shit. It's the same thing with getting your dick sucked. If she's down there and she's trying and you ain't feeling nothing, she's just down there, all you feel is some wetness. No penetration, no suction, no nothing.
No,
I mean, what the fuck? Just get up. Get
stop.
Up. Don't do it. So, yes, there are some bad motherfucking dick suckers out there. I said it.
But don't let it end there, man. I'm going to tell, like, you know, for all those women listening, I just want you to know, rule number one, the teeth do not belong in the pee-pee hole. That is bad. They don't go there.
Right.
All
right?
You know,
right.
Number two, and like Red said, if there's no suction, you need to get up. And ow
right.
Doesn't mean pleasurable. All right?
Exactly.
Ow does not
it's
mean pleasurable.
If you mouth down there and you just think, okay, I got a lot of liquid going on or whatever.
Yeah,
no,
you know, I'm slopping it up, but I'm not doing nothing.
What the
wrong.
Fuck?
Wrong.
You know. And,
but
and,
I don't
you
need
know,
that.
I don't mind
like,
you fucking with my balls, but I'm like you, DV. You got to know how to fuck
you,
them up.
See,
you can't just take them damn sensitive ass balls and just do whatever you want with them. I mean, damn.
Women don't understand that, man. They suck on them, like, so hard that it feel like your stomach is being sucked through your pee hole. It's just like, oh, my God. When women suck balls long, it's like they're kicking you in the balls every time they suck on you. And it's just like the worst. And you just want to curl up in a little ball and cry.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all are kidding
you know,
me. Where y'all get y'all dick suckers from? The bargain basement? What
I don't
going
know.
On?
You know what I'm saying?
If there's any dick suckers out there that want to suck DV Red Snapper,
please.
I'm telling you.
Like, I've had a lot of bad experiences. And, like, there was a point in time where I was like, I don't never want another girl to go out with me, ever. Ever, ever, ever. Then I met this one girl who basically made me cry, and I was like, all right, I changed. That philosophy changed overnight. But the thing is,
I mean,
like
there's some women that know what they're doing. I mean, you can tell. It's just like anything. It's like when a man is, if a man likes to eat pussy like I do, he's going to do that shit with skill and precision
passion.
And everything and listen to the woman
passion.
And try to, you know, with passion and love. Same thing with sucking dick. If a woman really likes to do it, you can tell that she loves it. Don't get down if you don't want to do it just because you want your shit ate. And
I'm
you think, well, if I touch his dick, then he'll eat me. You know, don't do it. Just don't do
it. If you suck in a man's dick, make him look at you while you're doing it. That shit is so hot, your man would thank you. All
right?
And I'm telling you, this now, because your man would be like, "That I love you for that." You know, when you're looking at a man, ah, that is lovely. And it's just the little things. Like, we don't require big things. Men, we pretty simple. You look at, you know,
we want you to look
while
up
you're doing
at
the nasty thing to me, look at me.
Hypnotic eyes and shit, and let us see that
uh-huh.
Thing in your mouth. You know, same thing like when you down there, hopefully you want to see me eating your shit. But, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, especially if you're on the clit, and guys that's eating pussy or whatever, women or whatever, what's this eating pussy without touching the clit shit? What is that?
What?
Why are you even
is that
down
possible?
There? I've heard some people that do that. I can't believe that shit. Why are you down there if you're not going to get on the clit? You don't suck the clit. What the fuck? Let me stop. Let me get off this shit. We got 11 minutes left. Lorraine, we need you to tell people how they can get your books and where they can contact you if they want you to do book signings or anything like that. We'll give you a chance to do that right now.
I forgot we were here about all that kind of stuff. Y'all just been entertaining me all night.
Word Sexy Radio, and you can come back. You can definitely come back on the show. So,
Well, both of my books are available on my website. And again, the first book is Mistress Memoirs. And I like to tell everybody who's read that book, the only comments that I have gotten that could be halfway bad are that it's too short and they want a sequel. And I'm thinking, if that's the worst thing you can say about my book is that you want a sequel, then I think that's pretty good.
Right.
Most people are astonished that there's a good storyline. They think it's just going to be sex, and there's sex. There's you know, there's poems, there's eroticism in them, but there's a storyline in it, and there's a message. Everything I write has a message in it. The same thing with Ask Nicely and I Might. It's a very sexy book, too, but there's a message in it. Both of my books are available at my website, which is my name, LorraineElzea.com, and the last name is ELZ, like in ZebraIA.com. And they're also available from my publisher, which is PeachsInTheStormPublishing.com. And like I told you, I'm also an editor and a ghostwriter. I've been editing for about 7 or 8 years. I've been ghostwriting for the last 3 or 4. I ghostwrite in every genre from religious to erotica. So other than sci-fi, I've done it before. So if anybody's interested in that, I can also be hit up on my email at LorraineZone@gmail.com.
You need to give me some info on that, too, so I will talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Man, when
you know,
I know
most
editing.
People prices with editing. For the authors out there, I mean, I don't do by page. I don't do by word. I have a straight-out price, and we even got layaway time. So, you know, I work with you like that, too.
I remember because you was out there editing when we were out. So
I have some stuff, Lorraine. I have a couple of books that need to be done, and I definitely would like to talk to you about that. So
that would be good.
And that way we can keep in touch because, you know, I want to keep in touch with you anyway because I know you're going to have some new stuff coming in. You definitely are welcome to come back on the show. Just, you know, we'll work that out.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed myself. I didn't know what to expect with you all, but you all were a bundle of fun. This was pretty good.
And Word Sexy Radio is like that. We try to make it – anybody that comes on, you know, if they want to talk this way, we let them be free about it and they can say what they want and it's not going to, you know, be that you got to be stiff because we don't want no stiff people on here. We don't want that. I was hoping Terry Woods was coming on, but I guess she couldn't make it. But that's okay. We still go for it. That's why we always try to have more than one guest on the show because we like to go for it, and we do that. And if nothing else, me and DV get on here and talk shit. So,
man, no.
I think next week, if I'm not mistaken, I think you next, aren't you, DV? You're coming up soon. It's either you or somebody that's coming up next. I'm not sure.
I thought
that
was August.
Well, you might be in August. You might be in August. It might be a couple of new more ladies coming on, but we like doing it. So, but, you know, this is what we do on the show. And like I said, you're welcome to come on. And if you just want to call in sometime and just speak, Lorraine, you can do that. It's not a problem. We don't mind you doing that.
I'm going to call in when DV online because I find his whole approach. He's laughing already because he know. I find his whole approach to selling books really good. And I'm just jealous that I don't have a third leg because this nigga can sell his book just walking up, batting them brown eyes on some of these women that think they're going to give him his phone number afterwards. And he's like, yeah, baby, I'm going to call you.
I'm going to
call his book.
I feel bad.
You don't feel bad.
No, because, like, I'd be meaning to call
him.
No, but I'd be meaning to call. It's just that, you know.
Lorraine, I'm going to ask you this, Lorraine, now. What are you doing in September?
The 16th to the 18th. It's the 16th to the 18th.
What are you doing during that time frame? You think you can come to St. Louis? Hang out with us?
Oh, that would be nice, September 1st.
16th to the 18th,
we're doing a Fall in the Literary Books Conference. It's a Casey Girlfriend's Book Club. I've been doing a lot of getting authors there. I mean, you know, they have tables and stuff, but, I mean, if you just want to come hang out and stuff, I mean, I think it would be nice to have you, because I'm trying to get a lot of erotic writers up there as well, because they always have all these other authors, and nothing wrong with them and their genre and stuff like that, but we want to just kind of come in and let people know that we're here, too, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We want to have fun.
I would enjoy that, and, you know, St. Louis ain't that far from where I'm at, so that's pretty good. Yeah, y'all send me some information. I'd love to join you.
Okay. I will make sure you get that, and we'll, you know, we'll let you know. And like I said, I'm planning on having a great time at that. I've been missing some of these other ones, but I want to get to start to do more traveling and everything. And, you know, I definitely want – this one is going to be pretty good. So I'm not that far. I'm in Kansas City, so – but I think that it would be nice if we all get together because there's a few of us that's coming up, and we're just going to get together, have some fun, and just enjoy that weekend, I think. And if we sell books, we sell books. That's what we want to do, but still just have fun as well.
Right.
Yeah, I think it would be nice to meet you in person. Yeah.
I'd like to meet you in person, too. And, you know, a lot of times we got to get past that. A lot of times writers want to sit here and think about what books they're going to sell and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes it's about the connection that you make with other authors. It's about putting yourself out there. You know,
right.
The more people you know, they may not buy your book that day, but then after they talk to you and see your personality and like you, then they may go get your book next week or whatever. So
exactly.
I'm always
exactly.
open to that, you know, because a lot of times when people buy a book, they're not really buying that book for that story. They're buying into that author. They like that author. They like the way they say it, the way they talk. And what I try and do with my books, I want to write something where nobody else can write it the way I am. It may be the same story, but ain't nobody else going to write it the way I am.
Exactly.
So,
what you,
you
just
know,
said is the key to everything.
Right.
You're the brand, not the book.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
that's right. Okay. Well, we got about 4 minutes left, and is there anything else, any shout-outs, anything you want to say to anyone out there that helped you get where you are, or just anything you just want to say right now? Any comments you want to give on what we talked about already, you can do that right now.
Well, I do want to say that I did like your open format about that, because a lot of times people are so afraid to speak what's on their mind. They sit here and think, you know, I've written this book, so I got to say it the politically correct way, or I got to say it so I don't offend anybody. Like, we use the word rape here. Some people wouldn't say that, and I started off by saying you can't rape the willing. That's how I put it, because if you're willing to come with me, even if I'm aggressive, it's not rape. But I enjoyed your program, because sometimes as authors, we write these books and stuff, but we're really trying to sell and we're really trying to promote, so sometimes we push ourselves back a little bit so we're not saying anything that's going to hurt somebody or be taken the wrong way. And I appreciate a format in which, you know what, I'm going to say it. If I want to say big, if I want to say pussy, if I want to say this, that, the other, you're not going to judge me. And even if you do judge me, oh, well, it was said, because that's how I want to say it at the moment. So I thank you both for letting me come on and talk about it and hear about my books, hear about my editing, hear about the ghostwriting, and just having fun with y'all, because this has been a good time.
Because that's what we do on Word Sexy Radio, right, DV? That's it. We just let you be who you are.
Yeah,
and ever since I started this show, I've always wanted it to be that way, because that's what it's all about. I mean, I want you to be comfortable when you come on the show and be able to talk about whatever. And, you know, sometimes people may think it's, you know, I mean, we don't always talk about sex. Most of the time we do. A lot of times, you know, we talk about other issues as well. But we like to, you know, do that. And I hope we didn't offend your husband or anything, because sometimes we get really wild with the questions. You know, because we ask questions about positions and all that shit, but we know we couldn't do that today. Anyway. We thank you for coming on, and anytime you want to come on the show, just let me know. We'll make time for you. Okay?
All right, and I enjoy it. I may call in when there's somebody else in just to join in like Cotton.
And you can do that. That's not a problem.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So we thank you very much for that, and we got about two minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and play this song. This is Michael Jackson song that I like, Break of Dawn, and take it out from there, okay?
All right. Well, it was nice being on your show. Thank you.
Not at
all.
All right.
Have a good night, y'all.
All right. Okay.
Let it blow, just let you go, love you more. alone, but how to love. People talk, people say, what do we have in the game? Oh, oh, oh. I'll never let you go. Come and tell. That's just enough to make sweet love to the break of dawn.